is kind of give you the mission statement of Home Point, and I'm going to break it down into two halves because really there's two different parts to it. I'm going to face this away to not get feedback. There we go. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper with you this morning, I want you to write this down, and that way you get the clear mission statement of what Home Point is, and you understand the direction that this is going, and you can refer to it at any point and be reminded of that as well. The first part of it is this, that Home Point exists to empower parents to become the primary spiritual force in the lives of their children. Okay? And it is up on the screen for you. Let me say that again. Home Point exists to empower parents to become the primary spiritual force in the lives of their children. Now, oftentimes, in modern-day church, parents look at their children kind of like some flowers. Okay? And what they do is they say, you know, I've got these precious and beautiful flowers, and I want to nurture them, and I want them to grow. And so they take them to the church, okay, and they hand them to the church and they say, water my flowers, all right? And so the church takes the gospel, right, and they water the flowers, and the water sort of bounces off the flowers, and maybe the flowers get a little bit of the water, but ultimately not the most effective way to water flowers. And so over the years, the parents notice that the flowers are starting to wither a little bit. Maybe they're not quite as strong as they want them. And so they say, well, you know what we need? We need more water, right? We need more water. So they plug their kids into other ministries and other programs and other things. And if the church doesn't offer those things, then hey, let's go to a bigger church where there's more programs, right? And so they go to a larger church, more programs, more water, okay? And the water is just, you know, just billowing out now onto the kids. But really the same result happens, right? The water bounces off the flowers, and in some cases it gets too much water on the top but not enough in the bottom, and that can be detrimental as well. And so what we want to do, and at City on a Hill, the leaders here, we said, hey, let's stop pretending like we can effectively water the flowers once or twice a week for a couple hours. The reality is that we can have the best programs in the world for kids. We are, and keep this in mind, we're at a time in an age, in an era of the church where we have endless resources compared to what we had even 25 years ago, 50 years ago. Our programs are better, our curriculum is better, the Bible is being taught at a level where kids can understand it in a very theologically sound manner. We have social media. We have all the tools we could possibly need to effectively reach the young generation. Okay, but the reality is we can have the most perfect programs, and we can spend the most incredible time teaching children, and by Monday morning, it can be all for naught if it's not being practiced in the home. And so what Home Point is designed to do, and what we at City on a Hill wanted to do, is say, let's take the flowers, okay, and rather than just watering the flowers, let's stick them in the pot, right, which is the family, okay, and then we just water the pot. And then the soil and the pot gets to do its job, the flowers grow, and suddenly families are acting like they were designed to act by God Himself. And so my prayer for you parents this morning is this, that through Home Point, you would be empowered, if you're not already, to become the primary spiritual force in the lives of your children. That when your children come to City on a Hill and they learn about Jesus and sin and death and the cross, and they have questions forming in their mind, and certainly they do, because even adults have questions, right, about the Bible. And so as children, when they have these questions forming in their minds about who God is and what is God's love really mean for me and what does it mean to follow Jesus, my prayer for you is that the number one thought that your kids have is, what does Mom and Dad think about that? Not what does Mr. James think, not what does Mr. Derek think, not what does my Sunday school teacher think. What does Mom and Dad think about that? What do my parents think about that? That's what Home Point is geared to do, is to change the culture to where the home is the primary spiritual platform. And church is where we go to learn more, but we practice and we proclaim in the household as well. Did you know that a statistic, and I've said this before to some of you in some leadership, and I think maybe even from the stage, 91.5% of regular attending churchgoers, these are people here every week, not the Easter and Christmas team, okay? Not the twice a year people. These are regular attending every Sunday faithful church people. 91.5% of them are having zero spiritual input in the lives of their kids Monday through Saturday. Zero. None. No prayer. No No talk about God, no talk about Jesus, no talk about anything. None. 91.5%. And so what does this mean? Well, there are like two reasons, I think, that this is possible and why this is happening. The first is that 91.5% of the people don't really care about the Christian life. And I have a really hard time believing that because of the commitment that people have to church outside of the home. Right, so we have all the classes and groups and different things that we offer, service opportunities that come to the church, and we have a pretty large percentage of people come and participate in those things. So it cannot be that 91.5% of the people don't care about the Christian life, which really leaves the second reason, and that is that they want to have spiritual input in the lives of their kids, they just flat don't know how. They just don't know how. How do I do that? How do I pray with my kids? How do I have a talk about God with my kids? I don't feel confident. I don't feel like I know enough to be able to do that. Those are the common things. And interestingly enough, that's what the study showed, that when these people were asked, why is there no spiritual input in the lives of your kids at home? That's exactly what they said. We just don't know how. We have no idea. I'm scared to death to talk to my kids. That was the number one response. And really, this should be good news for the church in light of the bad statistic, because what that means is we don't have to convince you why it's important. You already know it's important. We just got to show you how. We just got to show you how to do it. And so that's great. That's a simple thing to do. And I believe that is what will begin happening through the Home Point model. The second part of the mission statement, though, and I don't want to go any further. I'll talk about the how in a minute, but the second part of this is really important, and you'll see why as we talk through it. The full mission statement is this: Home Point exists to empower parents to become the primary spiritual force in the lives of their children and to encourage the body to be intentional in every stage of life. Now notice, in the second half of the mission statement, there's no words like kids or parents. Right? And I wanna make that clear, because my thoughts are that probably many of you are thinking right now, well, this sounds like a really great deal that the church is doing, but I don't have kids, or I'm not a parent, or I'm not married, and so this must not apply to me. And I want to dispose of that right away, because the reality is it does apply to you. It applies to every person. We wanna encourage the body of Christ to be intentional in every stage of life, no matter what stage you're in: single, married, divorce, maybe you have no kids, some kids, grandkids, doesn't matter. Every stage of life, we want to encourage you to be intentional, and we're going to show you how to do that. Maybe you come from a broken background. I come from a broken family as well. And maybe you're thinking, this all sounds great, family life, happy family time, but that's never going to happen in my household. Well, the good news is that you can practice being intentional no matter where you are right now, even if you're in the midst of a broken family, and you can break the curse and not let it continue on in your family as you move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you can break the curse. You don't have to be a part of that. You don't have to live in brokenness through this. You can start being intentional today and reap the benefits of that over the longevity of your life and see the fruit of that labor as you continue. And then as you begin to have kids, as you begin a marriage, if you're single, then you can begin to see the benefits, the fruit of your labor, so that you're being proactive rather than reactive. And that's really a good way of saying it, that Home Point really is about being proactive about being intentional rather than being reactive when it comes to problems as they arise. See, most of the time, and we've done a really good job of that here at City on the Hill, of being reactive. We need to have reactive things in place. When things go bad, we need to have something that can begin to help that. So we have freedom groups, and we have marriage ministry groups, and we have things where people are starting to trail down a path that is getting a little rocky or a little bumpy. We have a group for that where we can say, hey, let's help you. Let's walk alongside you. Let's get you back on track in the life and in the marriage or whatever the circumstance that God wants for you, how He designed it for you. But we also have to have things that are proactive so that we can stop people from going down that path in the first place, right? And so that's what we want to do here with that. So listen, my prayer for everyone here, is that God would use this church and this ministry to make your home life to be whatever it looks like to match up with how He designed your home life to be, okay? Whatever your home life looks like, my prayer is that it would become the home life that God intended for it to be. And that starts by being intentional in whatever stage or circumstance you're living in, okay? How many of you have seen the room since you've been here? Actually walked in. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful. And it sends a big message. And that's a crucial part of why we did what we did in that room. Listen, we could have taken a few tables and slapped them in the hallway with a few brochures and said, look, family ministry, right? And that sends a message, doesn't it? That sends a message that's just another thing here. And probably before too long, the table will move because something else will move into that place, and family ministry will be that great thing that we did for a little while, and then it kind of just trailed off. No, when you walk in, it doesn't matter if you understand what Home Point is, if you even know what the name of that is. When you walk into our church, that sends a message that whatever it is, it's important. It's important. And it's a reminder to all of our people in City on a Hill that when you walk in every Sunday morning or every Wednesday evening or whatever day you're here for whatever reason you're here, that you will see that room, that the front of that room, and it'll be a reminder to you that, man, I go to a church that cares about me and my family. I go to a church that cares about my life and my family and my kids, if I have kids, or whoever is a part of my home life. So that's the mission. Let's empower parents to become the primary spiritual force in the lives of their children, and let's encourage the body to be intentional in every stage of life. Now, the question that looms is, how? How do we do that? How do we accomplish the mission? And we do it in two ways. It's going to be a little two-point message here, okay? I'm going to keep it easy this morning. And the first is just that. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make it easy, okay? We're going to make it easy to practice intentional living. And we do that in a few different ways. And I'm going to show some brochures here, and there are going to be some pictures up on the screen. This one right here is a recipe card, and this is one of the ways that we make this easy, okay? The recipe card. There's not actual food recipes on these. Now, this one actually, it does have a recipe on it, so not a great example, but not all of them have recipes on them, okay? Really what it is it's a recipe for a good, God-honoring, fun activity, okay? That's what the recipe concept is, and here it is up on the screen. This one's called God's Timing. This is really great. This is designed for children. It's a children's activity. But you would start in the morning, and it gives you all the details as a morning activity and a dinnertime faith chat. That's the best use. The goal is to learn about God's perfect timing. Okay, so really what we're talking about here is the sovereignty of God, God's perfect timing in everything. And they give you a recipe for a taco soup. And then on the back here, there's every prompting that you will need as a parent to complete this task. So in the morning, you take all of your ingredients. It says that you brown the meat, get it ready, and then it says say, and then it's in quotes. So if you don't know what to say, if you're bad at like thinking of how to word things, you don't even have to think about that. It's written for you here. It's like a script, okay? Tonight, we're going to have a warm, yummy soup for dinner. You can tailor it however you want. I would never say that, but that's fine. But I need help because it takes a long time for this soup to be just right, okay? And then it says, do. In a medium skillet, cook the ground beef until browned, drain, set aside. And then it says to have your kids take all of the ingredients with you and put them in the crock pot. So they get to participate in making dinner. And that's fun. That's a fun activity for kids. And then read Psalm 5:3 together. And check this out. If you forgot where your Bible is, like you left it at church or wherever, you don't even have to have your Bible. It's written right here, Psalm 5:3. You don't even have to get it out. You just read Psalm 5:3 right off the page. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Okay? And then it says, say to your kids. We've put all the ingredients together, and now we must wait for our meal to finish. God's word says to bring our request to him and wait expectantly for him to answer. And then you ask, does God always answer our prayers immediately? And you get to talk through that. And then the answer, sometimes God's answer is for us to wait. Right? He knows best and has the plans, or the best plans for us. And then it says, read Psalm 40, verse 1. Once again, if you still can't find your Bible, if you sent little Johnny off to find the Bible somewhere, don't even send him. It's right here on the page. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Okay, and you've made dinner now, and you've discussed some of those things. Now, the cool part is, when you go to eat at dinner tonight, you have a prayer that you can pray about God's timing. It's written on here, okay? So as you pray, just crack open your eyes a little bit and pray. And then at the bottom, there's a dinner time discussion, okay? And this is great. So you can ask your kids something like, hey, this soup is really good, but how do you think it would taste if we had eaten it before it was done? Like, what if we ate it for lunch? And it would be probably kind of gross, right? Because everything wouldn't have cooked. And then you can say, sometimes that's how God's timing is in our life. Sometimes we have all the right ingredients together, but it's just not quite the right time. And so God's answer for us is, we need to wait a little longer. and then move to that perfect timing, and then we have everything that we need. Now, how incredible. You've just explained the sovereignty of God to a child. If I asked you, hey, tonight, great dinner time activity, parents, over a meal, I want you to talk about God's sovereignty to your five-year-old. Probably not going to be that's going to be a weird discussion, I'm sure, because it's hard to think about. How do I talk about sovereignty to a five-year-old? But this allows us, it gives us the tools to be able to do that, to where we can have a great mealtime discussion, explain a great theological truth to our children, and then at the same time, you're building a great relationship, a sense of intimacy with your kids, and you're establishing intentionality in spiritual things in your life. And that is just, to me, that is so, so awesome. No one can say, I can't do this. No one can say that. If you can read English, then you can do this card. That's the only requirement. There are other things that we make it easy for as well. So we have men's and women's resources on the wall to the right. When you walk in, there's a men's section, and then to the left, two things over, there's a women's section, and they're labeled. The men's section is called Tools for Men. There are five brochures, pointers is what we call these, for men, and they're all about being intentional no matter where you are. So up there is the intentional husband. I also have the intentional grandfather. I think that's really cool. There's not a lot of material out there on being a godly grandparent. And there's some statistics and studies that are just incredible when it comes to the growth and the development of a child when their grandparent is actively involved in the lives of their kids. Really, really telling stuff. There's something for the intentional single man, the intentional father, and then intentional mentor relationships. We also have a women's area with some of our existing resources in them, Bethmore Bible Studies. There are going to be some women's stuff coming, from what I understand, soon. But the interesting thing is, one of our staff members asked us the other day, you know, why isn't there like a tools for women section? Why is it tools for men, and then the women's ministry stuff is just women's ministry? And the answer to that is because Home Point generally attracts women, the whole thing, right? I mean, the whole thing is kind of designed that way. Guys see that kind of stuff, and they're like, what is that? You know, I mean, that's like the car ride home when the wife says, did you see that beautiful room? And the guy's like, what? What do you mean? You know, we just don't notice those kinds of things. So what we did is we made a specific area for men, so we can say, men, get off your seats and go and get some resources and start being intentional about being a man. So there's men's and a women's section in there as well. Women, there's actually a great study starting in 2 weeks, September 24th, led by our very own Ailey Folsom. If you don't know Ailey, tremendous woman. But it's a Precepts Bible study class by Precepts Ministry. It starts on September 24th at 7 p.m. That's on Tuesdays. And we will have information in there soon, probably as soon as this coming Wednesday. So if that's something you're interested in, call the church office and we'll get you signed up for that. One of the main two things that I want to focus on this morning. So far, we have the men's and the women's section, and I've talked about recipe cards. So that's how we make it easy. Simple activities to make it easy to practice intentionality. One of the main two things I want to emphasize this morning, and this is one of them, is the Home Point pointers. Okay, the Home Point pointers. That's what we call these. There are 29 of these. 29 of these. 18 special circumstances and 11 life stages. Okay, to make 29 total. And what these are simple brochures that explain either a special circumstance or a life stage. It gives biblical wisdom and encouragement. It gives you additional resources to read, how you can plug in further. This one is on the empty nest. Once again, I chose to show this one because this is something that you don't see a whole lot in churches when it comes to ministry resources. What do I do now? Now that my kids are grown and have moved out, what does life look like now? And certainly that is a big transitional part of life. For 18 years, parents spend with their kids in their home, sometimes longer, sometimes like, you know, 29 or 30 years with their kids in the house, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And it's like, what? My whole routine changes, right? And now there's all this free time. And so we want to encourage parents who are in this empty nest stage, start being intentional now about this stage of your life. Your mission is not over with. Okay, you rose, you bear children, and you rose them up, and you've launched them into the adult world, but now we want you to be intentional about this next stage of your life. So there's the empty nest, and then this one is for single people as well. This is part of the life stages. So single, engaged, married, there are a bunch of different topics in this as well. The single one is really pretty incredible when you go through this, because it actually calls single people to action to reflect upon whether or not you are called to single life or stalled in the single life. Now let me explain. If you're called to the single life, then what that means is you are called to intentional celibacy and abstaining from any sexual practice for the service of the Lord. Now, interestingly enough, when we ask, are you called to single ministry, that percentage drops drastically when we use words like celibacy. Suddenly, it's like, no, I'm not called to that. Nope. But hey, and I don't want to make light of that, because people who are called to single life are very clearly called to be set apart to serve the Lord in incredibly wonderful, profound, and supernatural ways. So, what? Oh, 10 minutes. I've got it. You're good. Just back there monitoring my time. But what this will do, this will direct you, though, in answering those questions, being intentional about your choosing your mate. On the back side, there are additional resources. So if you will go to the back, you'll see at the top books that you can read on this particular topic if you want to go further. And then notice at the bottom it says Going Further at City on a Hill. Going Further at City on a Hill. Now, this is really incredible, because what this does is this then takes all the people who have been from different ministries or maybe even in the community to the Home Point Center. Now, what this is doing, this is redistributing them back into City on a Hill's other ministries. And so that brings up the profound point that James was talking about, and he's going to talk about this here in a minute as well, that Home Point is not an additional ministry. It's not another program. It's not another thing that City on a Hill is doing. Home Point is a connecting ministry that ties all of our ministries together. So if you are in an ABF or a freedom group or a life group, and you're going through whatever life stage or special circumstance you're in, we're going to direct you to the Home Point Center to get biblical wisdom and encouragement in these resources to help you through whatever circumstance that you're in. And then at the end of that, we're going to push you back into another ministry that can begin to further help you in whatever circumstance you're in. So, for example, if you're in a difficult marriage and you say, hey, I'm in a Bible study and I'm talking to a guy in the Bible study and say, hey, I'm having a difficult marriage and I don't know what to do. Well, then that guy can say, hey, you ought to go to our Home Point Center and pick up the Home Point pointer on a difficult marriage. And he'll read that, and he'll begin learning how to be intentional about fixing and starting to do the right steps to clean his side of the street, maybe get into an additional book to read, and then at the bottom it'll say, and maybe join a Life Change for Couples group. Okay, and then him and his wife will then join, hopefully, the Life Change for Couples group, and all of a sudden, there's been this cycle where they came from this one ministry with a problem into the Home Point Center and then back into the proper ministry that they needed to be in the first place, and along the way may have gotten some other resources and tools they didn't even realize they needed. And so that is exciting, is it? Is it not? Is that not incredible that this ties and unifies all of those things together? That's extremely exciting stuff to me. So we make it easy, and then we also make it likely. We want to make it likely, okay? There is an appraisal that hopefully most of you got when you came in, a 120-day appraisal plan. And what I want you to do is, yeah, that right there, that pamphlet right there. If you did not get one of those, be sure to pick one of those up as you leave today, because what that is a 2 to 3 minute appraisal where you rate yourself and then drop it either to one of the host team members or in the offering plate, and you will check whatever, you'll rate yourself on if you're married, the married section, if you have kids, the kids section, if you're single, there's a sizable area in there for the single life as well. And we want you to see, so that you can see in front of you how intentional you are being in these areas and phases of your life. Okay, so if you check on there less likely or not as confident in certain areas, then that it's like looking in a mirror and seeing the things that you need to be more intentional about. And then you can go to the Home Point Center and address those things and start being more intentional. And we do this every 120 days. Every 120 days, we're going to pass out one of these brochures that has this application on it, and you're gonna fill it out and pass it into the offering plate. You'll notice there is no place for a name. We don't want you to write your names on that. We want you to feel confident that it is going to be confidential. But it is good for us, because we can begin pouring through the statistics and see maybe major trends in our church. So if a bunch, if there's a high percentage of people that have this specific place where they're not as confident in, well, then we'll begin designing something or trying to move towards whatever avenue that looks like, a sermon series or whatever we decide to do, to begin working towards that particular thing, to help that larger percentage of people out with whatever it is the struggle is. So we make it more likely by doing that, and then we make it more likely that you will come to the center by also, every 120 days, starting today, launching a campaign. So there'll be three campaigns a year. Every 120 days, we launch one. And the campaign that we're launching today is called Meals at Home. Meals at Home. In fact, the recipe card that I just showed a minute ago, this is from the Meals at Home campaign. And the whole point of Meals at Home really is to reemphasize and draw the family back together to begin practicing the ancient practice of just eating dinner together at the dinner table. Eating dinner at the dinner table. There are pretty incredible statistics. I want to give you just a couple of them done on the benefits of eating as a family together at the dinner table. Check this out. A teen eating two family meals per week is 89% more likely to use drugs, alcohol, and illicit sex than a teenager who is eating five family meals per week. Two family meals, 89% more likely to engage in those behaviors than the ones who eat five family meals. Listen, I'm not talking about Bible study, devotionals. I'm not talking about teaching your kids Greek syntax or Hebrew alphabet, all right? This is eating dinner at the dinner table. That's all, eating dinner at the dinner table. Another one is this. Teens who eat five family meals per week are 300% more likely, based off these statistics, to say they have a greater relationship with their mom and dad. So teens who eat five meals per week say, I have a great relationship with my mom and dad. They're 300% more likely to do that if they eat five meals per week. 52% of teens say they wish they ate more than three family meals per week. So teenagers want this more than three times. Now, 100% of them said that they wanted to do it some. 100% of teenagers said, I would like to do that some. But 52, over half of them said, we'd like to do it more than three meals per week. Dr. Miriam Weinstein, family psychologist, and she does a lot of research and study on the family, said this in her study about the power of eating meals together at dinner time. She says this, the beneficial impact of family mealtime has been demonstrated for children of all ages. Better grades, healthier eating habits, closer relationships to parents and siblings, ability to resist negative peer pressure, resilience in the face of life's problems, all of these are outcomes of simply sharing dinner on a regular basis. She said that the ones who ate more meals together as a family showed stronger behavioral scores, less obesity and more manners, and more of a shared compassion for their fellow man. Once again, people, this is eating dinner, okay? This is a really great one. This is the last one I'm going to give you, but this is this is from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. They said this, that in their studies of the power of eating meals together, the more often kids eat dinner with their families, the less likely they are to smoke, drink, or use drugs. And that is based off of the people in the Center for Substance Abuse and Drug Addiction at the Columbia University Research Center. These are all real statistics. And this is one to two years ago or when these studies were done. This isn't from like 1980, okay? This was last year and 2 years ago. So let me ask you a question. As people of God, as Christ followers who desire to see their families grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord, is this not a practice we should begin sharing? Eating meals together. This is something we should be, this is a give me. This is encouraging incredible results in the lives of your children by simply eating together. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. I want to make this quick. When you leave today, there is a table outside in the foyer, and there are going to be people there handing out envelopes that say Meals at Home on them. There's one envelope for every family. So not one per person, but one per household. And if you will, please honor that, because we have a limited amount. Obviously, we can get more if we need them, but we have enough. If everyone will take one per household. And this includes the 11 recipe cards, okay? So God's timing is one of these. There are 10 more of these great activities that you can practice with your family. There is a brochure explaining what Meals at Home is, even more in depth, and it gives some of those similar research studies that I just gave you. There's a CD, a podcast that has testimonials. It was released by Lake Point Church in Rockwall. And it has some of their findings and some of their people giving their testimonies about how Meals at Home changed their life. Now, this is awesome. For the busy families who can't afford the time to go and cook five meals a week, we've included in the card a discount card with 7 to 8 restaurants in the Arlington-Fort Worth area that will give you different discounts if you take your whole family there to eat. So 15% off is a couple of them. One of them is a free kids meal with every adult purchase. These are ways to assist you in being intentional and making it more likely that you will participate in this campaign by saying, look, if you'll just go to dinner with your family and practice this and you can't do it at home, we're going to give you a discount card to make it easier for you financially when you go out and do that. Okay? So there's a discount card in there. And then here's the thing. We want to make this fun. We're always a little bit about fun around here, right? We want to have fun. And so in there is a letter from me to you explaining the Meals at Home contest that begins today. And there is also a card that you can fill out, and on the back side there's a calendar, and for every day that you practice this practice, you check that box, and at the end of the month, if you've eaten at least 3 meals together as a family per week, turn it into the Home Point Center, and we will have gift cards as well to give to you to where you can continue to practice this intentional act of eating dinner together at whatever restaurant the gift card is for. How exciting is that? Now, let me say a caveat here. Let me say a caveat for the contest. This is no media, no cell phones, no TV, okay? No movies, no computers, okay? Listen to me. Sitting down around Netflix while half the people are on Facebook and Instagram on their phone is not a family meal, all right? And I'm not judging you. That's a common practice in the Bledsoe household, all right? But it's not a family meal. We need to be more intentional, so no media, okay? We want you to adapt. If you're a single person, if you don't have kids, well, then practice this with friends. Practice this with other family members. Life groups, we want you to practice this once a month. We want our life groups to, every month when you gather at least one time, turn everything off, put your cell phones down, and eat together and just have a family conversation with your life group. If you're an empty nester, identify children in the body through either me or Chris Cunnington or some of the adult ministry leaders that serve in the kids and youth building and find out what are some kids whose families are probably not going to practice these things. Maybe kids from outside the community that just show up on their own. Who can I find that doesn't have a family that's going to do this with them, and how can I begin practicing this with them? Be a blessing in their lives in that way. So take an envelope when you go out. This is exciting stuff. You guys have to understand, God's hand has been moving through this in a way that we didn't even really realize the fullness of it until now. When we did the gospel project, we unified our Bible study from our kids to our students and our adults so that when you're practicing meals at home, one of the dinner time discussions can be, what did you think about the life or the gospel project study today? What did you think about that? And you can begin talking about that through that. Kids in our first service, come now, 3rd through 6th grade, they have sermon notebooks, right, that they're coming to get every Sunday. And you even saw out there this morning kids assisting kids to get their sermon notebook so that it stays in order and is neat and it's put back in a timely manner. That can be a mealtime discussion. What did you think about the sermon today? What was your sermon notes like? How did you like that? Now today they're a word search, okay? So don't ask them that question tonight because this was more of an administrative message than it was anything else. But you can begin talking through that. If you're in a freedom group or a life group, that's a mealtime discussion. Hey, I want to share with you as a family what God's been showing me about my heart in this freedom group, okay, at an age-appropriate level. This is how, do you see it, how God has been unifying the ministries over the course of the last about year and a half, and what Home Point does now is it just puts the icing on the cake and says, here's the whole picture. No matter where you're at City on a Hill, come to the Home Point Center and be connected back into the rest of it. And I'm done.
Thank you. The truth of the matter is, this thing is so huge, there's no way in 30 minutes he could explain to you the depth and the breadth of this thing, but you're going to be learning it over the course of time. I really encourage you, go to the Home Point Center, walk through there, talk to our representatives that are in there. Our people are trained. They can explain this to you, and as we continue to roll this out, you're going to understand even more. I want to wrap up and explain to you why this is not a new ministry. Actually, it is a center point, and it is really a summation of everything that we have been doing for a long, long time. We've talked to you before that our approach to discipleship or life transformation, becoming conformed to the image of Christ, sanctification, whatever you want to call it, our approach to emotional spiritual maturity here is based upon 3 aspects that we are very strategic about. Let me talk to them about them on the basis of Deuteronomy 6 for just a moment. First of all is the head. Okay, we start with the head. That is about knowing. In other words, there are things that God wants us to know, right? There's information that God wants us to have in our head. In Deuteronomy, God is giving His people commands, His statutes, His things that He wants them to know and He wants them to do. And so these are things that they are supposed to know. In verse 8, He says, you're even to bind them as frontlets on your forehead between your eyes, which was symbolic of the fact that these things are finding a home in your head. You're learning these things. Now, folks, that has not changed. There are things that God wants us to know. Jesus taught the disciples. Paul taught the churches. We have the New Testament written down for us of doctrine and of teaching and of things that God wants us to know. So discipleship begins with the head. It begins taking in information that God wants us to know. You can't do anything with something you don't have. We are strategic about that through our adult Bible fellowships, through the Gospel Project. That's where we primarily do Bible teaching and then what I do here on Sunday morning. Then we also have discipleship. But this is all about the first part, and that is about information, the Word of God, the head knowing. The second thing is about the hands, that is doing. In other words, discipleship is not just about knowing something, but it is about doing something with what you know. That's the second step. And so in Deuteronomy 6 that I read to you a moment ago, God says, be careful to do all of these things that I am commanding you. So He said, first of all, I want you to know these things, and then I want you to do something with them. I want you to begin doing the things that I've commanded you. So in verse 8, He not only said, are you to bind them as a frontlet on your forehead, but you are also to bind them on your hand. And that's symbolic of action, of doing something with them. And so discipleship is about knowing, but it is also about doing. Once again, Jesus said the very same thing. He said, if you only hear my words, but you don't do them, what are you? He says, you're foolish. You're building your house on sand. But the one who hears my words, who knows, who does them, is building his house upon a rock. James, in the letter of James in the New Testament, says, do not be a hearer of the word only, but be a what? Be a doer. And so we're just strategic about not only people getting information here about knowing, but we are also strategic. We want people to begin to put it into practice. And we do that through our life group system. Being in a life group is about serving. It's about ministering. You minister to one another within the life group, and you minister with one another in the life group. It's also the purpose of our Community Connect ministry, where we go out and we are the hands and the feet of Jesus in our community. So we're not just knowing all of this stuff, but we're beginning to put it into practice. Are you with me? So the third part is the heart. This is becoming. The head is knowing, the hands are doing, and the heart is becoming. Now, if your head is full of information and your hands are blistered from doing good things, that's not all. It hasn't ended there. Because I want to tell you, in fact, I think my next book is probably going to be titled something like, The Heart Trumps It All. And that's the reality, that is the truth. The heart trumps it all. The heart trumps all the knowledge you have. The heart trumps all the things, the good things that you do with your hands. If the heart is not right, it trumps all. How many of you ever played spades? You can lay the ace of hearts down, but if somebody drops a trump, your ace of hearts ain't worth diddly, is it? They just trumped you. And let me tell you what the wounded heart does. The wounded heart comes along often and trumps all of our knowledge. It trumps all of our mercy. It trumps all of our good things. And then the wounded heart comes in and trumps it all. Now that is a message from the Scripture. Jesus said to the Pharisees, who obviously had their heads full of information, and their hands were blistered by doing works, because man, they were getting it done. But Jesus said, the problem with you is that your heart is far from the Father. And so their hearts trumped all of the knowledge and all of the service that they do. So we are strategic about addressing the issues of the heart, about addressing the issues of the wounded heart, so that the wounded heart does not trump the head and the hands. And we do that primarily through the freedom groups, okay, that are targeted strategically to help you look into the heart and see where you have been wounded so that you may acknowledge that, so that you may deal with that, so you may experience the healing of that, so that your heart doesn't come along and trump your head and your hands. We're very strategic about that. Do you get that? So what do we have? We have the head. We need to know. We have the hands. We need to be doing. And we have the heart. We need to be becoming. It is in the heart. It is out of the heart that things really happen that overwhelm and sabotage all of the knowledge and all of the doing. Now, here's the question. Where is the first place that we are to live out the things that we have in our head? Where is the first place that we are called to live out the Christian life? The home. The home. That is the purpose of Home Point. As Derek said, to tie all of this together and help you begin first place to live all of this out, the head, the hands, and the heart in the home. It is our first responsibility. As a matter of fact, as Jesus sent out the disciples, the last words he said to them before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Where does it start? Where did he say you would start being my witnesses? Jerusalem, that was home. That's where they lived. And then from Jerusalem, Judea, and then Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Texas. Even the Great Commission, Jesus said, if you're not doing it at home, then you skip the most important step. It starts right there. Now, if you'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these instructions are written to all of the nation of Israel. Were they not? He says, "Hear, O Israel, hear, the Lord our God is one God." So he is writing these instructions to the nation of Israel. But how are these instructions to be carried out? Each individual household. Each individual household. So this is not something that the nation could do if each individual household was not doing them. And so as each household did them, then the nation was doing what God desired them to do. What did he tell them to do? He said, this is what you do. You teach them through your sons. Now, he's talking to the nation, but now he switches to the individual family. He says, you teach them to your sons. You talk about them when you rise up and when you lie down and when you walk by the way. Now, that pretty well covers the whole day, doesn't it? When you rise up, when you lie down, and in between, when you walk by the way. That this is an individual thing. And so Israel could not keep the things that God gave him to keep unless each individual household was doing the same thing. Now, why is that? You've heard me say this before. Because at the very center of God's heart is not the nation of Israel, is not even the church, folks. It's the home. What was the first institution that God created?
The home.
The home. When he created a home in the garden. It was the first. Israel did not come until centuries later. The church didn't come till centuries after that. The heart of God's heart is the home. It was how Israel was to carry out their mission. It is how the church is to carry out its mission through the home. Now, isn't it interesting how we flip this around? We want the church to carry out our mission for us. Raise my kids, get my kids straight, teach my kids the Bible, get my kids walking the narrow path. That is exactly the opposite. God said, no, it starts in the home. And when my people in the body of Jesus are doing the first thing in the first place, then the body will be doing what I want them to do.
Amen.
You know, and I'm so excited because my kids are now 28 and 31, and part of Home Point is how you influence your grandchildren. So, you know, I mean, I've kind of done all the influence I think I can on my kids, but I still have a relationship with them. They still come to me for wisdom. They come to me sometimes for foolishness, but I still have an opportunity to have an impact. But, man, I've got three grandbabies now, and I'm excited about when I have Junebug over at my house and my wife and I, what can we do about meals at home with Junebug and with Wyatt and with Max, and how can we be intentional grandparents? So, folks, this is not just about, don't wipe this out and say, oh, this is just for people that have kids at home. This is just for those, no, this is about all of us. You got grandkids, you got neighborhood kids, you got other kids in the church that need an influence. This is for everybody. This is creating, investing in the lives of kids so that they can move on and be successful. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, man, I am covering so much territory. I should have said, you're going to have to listen fast because I'm going to talk fast. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, once again, verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord." Now that's interesting because the book of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus, right? But once again, though he's writing instructions to the church, when it comes to the application of it, it becomes individual, doesn't it? And so he said, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord." So the first place, again, of application is in the home. It is God's heart. Now, I hear people, and I've heard people through the years say, "I have a difficult time living out my faith at work." Okay? And they struggle with, "How do I live out my faith at work?" I want to say something to you. If you can live your faith out at home, work will be no problem. Mm-hmm. You see, the problem for many Christians is they've never learned how to live their faith at home. That's more difficult than living your faith at work. If you can, parents, if you can live your faith with your children, and you can interject faith into your home, when you go to work, that's going to prepare you so much and give you so much confidence. If you're trying to live your faith at work and you're not living it at home, you're spitting in the wind. And so Home Point is about empowering you. Home Point is about partnering with the church, doing what we can do, which is not to do your job for you, but to empower you and to partner with you in living out your faith at home. And as Derek has already shared with you, the statistics are enormous about the impact that this makes on the difference in the lives of children. Just eating meals together at home. When our children were young, I would imagine that we probably averaged 4 meals a week in the evening eating together, and that was with the life of a busy pastor. And I had meetings, and I had all that, before I had minions to go to all the meetings for me. I had to go to all the meetings and all that. Now I have minions, and I honor them by turning that stuff over to them a lot. But we made it a practice. We sat around the table, and nobody told us to do that. But God's Word, nobody told us to do that kind of thing with our kids. Laura's family didn't do it. My family didn't do it. But it bore fruit as our kids got older, and it became more difficult as they're teenagers. It's much more difficult, but it built a relationship and a foundational relationship for our kids. That when they did go through those difficult years, we had already built that relationship. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've got young children, meals at home. If you're a grandparent, meals at home. You say, "Well, I don't have my grandkids very often." Well, every time you have your grandkids in your home, get strategic about being a strategic grandparent with your children. And if you find someone else, then mentor them. So here we are, okay? The head, we got to have something to share. The hands, we got to be setting the example. The heart, we got to deal with the wounds, because the wounded heart will sabotage everything you're doing. The ABF, the life group, and the freedom groups. The head, the hands, the heart. Can you say that with me again? The head, the hands, the heart. What is it that ties it all together? Where are we wanting this to make its impact as we're getting the knowledge? As we're getting our hands, blisters on our hands, as we're dealing with the wounded heart, where do we want the power of that to flow? We want it to flow into the home, which is God's heart, and impacting the next generation of Christ followers. And let me tell you something. Paul said, "Do not provoke your children to wrath." You know how to provoke your children to wrath? Don't deal with your anger. Just ignore it. Act like it's not there. Don't deal with the wounded heart that causes your anger. Don't deal with your unforgiveness of your parents or somebody else that hurt you. Don't do that. That'll bleed over into your children's hearts and in their lives. The quickest way to provoke a child into wrath is to refuse to acknowledge that you have a wounded heart that needs healing. That's the quickest way to do it. So he says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord." And we're going to begin this. This starts today, the first campaign, 120 days, Meals at Home. And when we get to the faith path that's going to be launched, it's going to blow your socks off, parents. Faith Path is going to give you a process by which you can start with your children, and when they turn 18, you will be able to give them something that will show them that the faith they developed wasn't your faith, it became their faith. And you'll have it documented, and you'll have a process to help you. Is that cool or what? How many parents could be that strategic? How many parents could think that way? I couldn't. But Home Point's going to give you a strategy so that your kid's not, someday is not going to turn 18 and go, you know what, my faith is not mine, it was my parents, they imposed it on me. No, you're going to be able to go, no, let me show you, this is your faith. Here is what you did. And it's based on the birthdays. Every birthday, a new process. And you bring that child up, and for 18 years, then one day you hand that to them, and you say, you know what, you spent 18 years developing your faith. This wasn't imposed on you, this is your faith. And the kid could tell, you're right, it's mine. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Granddad. Thank you, Grandmother. Thank you, Mentor, for helping me develop my own faith. Will you begin Meals at Home next 120 days? When you go out of here, one packet for family. It's going to lay it out for you. And bring some folks. Bring some families. They may not be Christians, but I'll tell you, families today, even if they're not Christians and churchgoers, they're concerned about their family, aren't they? And we want to partner with them. And in the process of meeting that need, we want to ultimately have the opportunity to lead them to our Savior Jesus, for He is ultimately the answer. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank You that You have been preparing us, and we didn't even know it. We didn't see how all the pieces of this puzzle were coming together, that now we're getting to see where Home Point now is just tying it all together. I thank You for Derek. I thank You for Laura. They're incredible at hard work. I thank You for Derek's commitment to being family pastor, and helping families to do what he never had, and what I never had, and what so many in this room never had, but to help families, even as he raises his own young children, and invests in them, and gets an opportunity to learn and to practice this as we do it as a body of believers. May Your hand of blessing and Your Holy Spirit anoint this ministry, so much so that from the north, east, south, and west, families come that we can invest in, and that You ultimately can bring to Yourself. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.